Fare weel, my horse, my bonny pair, all yoke and loose we'll ne mair. Fare weel, my plough, wi' this horn, we'll turn out ne mair for Ashlan. Chapter 6, Death in a Call Country. Team the strang for the chunty o' the rubber, Meg, Jock Dow roared out. It'll garret grow wi' a vengeance. On a sign of the doctor's gig, speared the skiffy as she rocks o'er the washing green to cope the dark yellow piddles o' the nuke, for the young rubber lay curled up aneath the yard. Gan round to the hen's shiddies, Minnie Bruce sat down, the hen's pail, her heart thudding, her lugs cooked. Aye, I sat drawing by northeast when I was kirt on sticks for the fair widdy. Dr. Henderson will visit the maister neist. He wanna be keep it long at northeast. The fair wife's due to bairn, but she's drab at six already. The men ken the road out new be heard. Faith, the sair man's never off the heed of her, now when her she's bowdy legged. He just has to tweak his gallows and she lies down. It's a when her she's time to set the fire in the morning, let a lean kindled. As Meg tipped the stank o'er the floor, the grieve sang out wi' a roar. Rise and team the pail, Bella, rise and team the pail. Rise and team the pail, Bella, or I'll hate to eat mysel. Minnie had passed Meg, near 2 minutes syne, preening the washing to the tows strung for 3 nukes of the garden. The crooked arm of the rodden was the sooth Miss Bowl. A nail in the reef of the kirt shed aside the green was the Norland pole. The bow of the ache that merked the green off for the kale yard was the eastern merker. The maid's thick arms raxed up abeen her heed, fechting agin the wind wi' a wheat sheet. Her hands were rubbed reed raw for being steeped in the wash. She'd been up sin the buck of 5, lichting the fires and mocking the men's maid. Steen Hillock had catched a chill in the stable 3 weeks back, and much of the chav looking after her invalid maester fell on her 2 braid shooters. She maun ha laid the washing down for a minute and nipped into the firm house to team the reaming chunty that sat aneath the farmer's bed afore the doctor's visit. The quine devolved a whiley to lug in to fit the grieve would say neist. She darna stop the doctor when he drave the gig up the road to spear who well her feyther was. Her ma or her mither Matty had mair recht to her to spear onything, but he was awa' a' day at Strathbogie College in the toon, gathering leer o' a different kind. She might be her feyther's favourite, but it did her nae guid service with the life of the family. When her feyther was weel and gone aboot, faith they couldna thaw the call went to blawin' her. When it was dinner time, Steen Hillock would scrape the tastiest bitties of beef for his plate onto her, toozle her heed and wink, and tell her to stick in till she stuck out. Matty, her brother, had gotten books for his birthday and new squeal clays. He would rather ha' gotten a shilt like Daisy that his da had bought for Minnie, Daisy wi' hick-stepping hooves and a black star in her brew and a tail that swished like a whip. Maybe their feyther felt sorry for Minnie, for she was fully as gleg as Matty in the uptak, but ach, to spend siller na quine's education would ha' been considered a waste by the folk of the parish. But a dolly, a horse, a zither, och, this he couldn't did gie, wi' muckle love for by, leaving little hour in the wye o' affection for our doer sarcastic brother. Jock Dow had been up since 5 a.m. as early as Meg herself. It was his job to knock up the men and his wife to the stable, for he unlocked the corn kist with the key and trusted to him Beastin Hillock to scope out the feed in each shilt's bag. It was Jock Dow if I gied the men their orders ilky morning, if I saw till it that they cleaned out the stray for the stable, groomed their horse and forked in their hay. It was Jock Dow if I cried, bridle, to set them to work, if I got them louse for a brack at 8 o'clock to sup tea for their wee tin flasks with their stoppers corked with brown paper. It was Jock Dow if I sat them to work again till dinner time when the horse not 2 hours to feed, giving the men time to sort their hay and feed for the night. Aye, and false was it but Jock if I strode ben the byre at milking time, morning and night, and made sure that the milk cart was loaded with full cans for the 8 mile ride to the town. Faith, "'But would they deen without joke this last few weeks "'at the big toon dairy "'for his maisters mi their bed "'and her fine braw house "'and her widow's weeds "'were twa unmerit daughter. "'Elke day that Steen Hillock lay sick, "'Joke's power grew mair and mair. "'A firm was like a ship. "'It needed a captain, "'and when Matty Bruce half grown "'and his mither still weel to be seen, "'the grave was waiting his chance, "'still Steen Hillock deed of the fever "'dragging him down. "'Because of his maister's sickness, "'there had been nae change of men "'at the Fian Mert or Muckle Friday, "'when the firm loons took their arles "'and the offer of 6 months work, "'when the colour sergeants for the gardens "'tristed the loons to jine for the king's shilling.' Sally Bruce had gone roon a' the quarters in turn, prigging with him to bide woffers a mere neeps and coal. But it was to the charmer door far Jock Dow bothy that she came first to seek for help. He was fluttered, but he was na feel either. They were baith of an age, and Jock was still unmarried. Like the stallion had gone roon the ferms serving the mares, he'd never been short of female company. And over the years he'd covered buckles of shearers and skiffies for had come and gien in the firms he'd worked on, whiles that gien were mair than the bargain for, baith and een. He kent the horseman's word, he could command baith shelt and woman fin the een humour took him. Nae that he wished his maister ill, but a body man muckle a life fit the con, and Jock was fair gleg in the uptuck. Minnie Bruce heard the tail line of the song, and heard Prince Nicker and Strick the steeny road with his muckle hooves. The grave man he harnessed him and led him out for Dandy the Oar alone to cart sinners out onto the road. The road was fair scarted with ruts, for the snawbry running in the spring thaws had torn the topsail awa' like bits of flesh, riven off wi' a deed hair by hungert craw. Then she heard the skiffy passing on some cleek she'd pick it up in the firm kitchen. It's nae guid news aboot Steen Hillock. He should never have spent a' next in the stable with a new horse that died with the girth sickness. Nae and him wi' a host on him afore he got out, and a weak chest on him wi'. I'd a brother fa' took stots and starts of bronchitis, but after a fortnight he aye shook it off. It's 3 weeks noo, as ye ken, Jock, the maister's been bedded, and he's nae muckin' much out. In fact, he's turned far waur these last hen missed 2 or 3 days. Yon's for why Dr. Henderson's been cried in. It's long by the stage of curing the maister by steaming him and hooding on the toddy. When I get in with a jug of fresh water this morning, he complained to a pain in his breast. I helped the mistress to lift his head off of the booster, and he whistled and whistled trying to catch his breath and pyochert and spat into the spittoon. The spit was streaked with blade joke, and fin my laid him back down, he pecht and pecht like a dog fin his chest a rabbit, and the swat ran off him like hail water. Mistress Bruce is sponging him next and day to bring down the fever, but I dinna like the colour of him nae a va. He's grey joke, grey as a steen, shocking so hard it's a winner the hair isna far fae his heed. I never saw a body shock like yon. Mrs. Dunlop doon at the fair woody was a nurse in the toon. She called it rigors, and it's coarse to watch. Say I can thole team in the pier breech chunty if it leaves the mistress free to nurse him in otherwise. Minnie Bruce's mither, Sally, aye gied the oar a work to the maid. Nae biting hen a dog and barking yourself, should say, though she took her turn at the milking with the lave, aye, and did a' the bacon, buttermucking, jam mucking, and cheese mucking about the place. Likewise in the byre she took tin to the newborn calfies, learning them to suck for the cogie instead of their mother's teat. These last 3 weeks, though, she'd been unca hard card running after her sick man. Steen Hillock had jailed himself to the bean at the hecht of a blizzard in the tail end of February, oot a' next in the stable nursing a new bought mare that deed, in spite of a' his care and a' his trachel. No, his wife was nursing him, up and down the stairs near wearing the moot, elke time Matthew Bruce got his muckles a mute. She'd steamed him, tried to tempt him to eat with sweet sops or drug him with toddy, but aye the host, grew rougher and deeper, till the beans that showed at the neck of his sark poked through the skin, as the tide of health creeped out, and something darker creeped in about. No, it shudders sat in the sunken hose of his cheeks, and the gorbly's blainess o' his long, scranny throat, for the spit gathered and rochled down in his chest. The fair Maristine Hillock was 53 years old and dying, when Watty, his heir, just a half-grown loon at Strathbogie College in the town, a half-grown loon that hated the firm and the beasts, the plouter of dubs, and the coarse uncertainties of the northeast seasons. 53 years old and dying, with a wife that was 40, but could pass for 30 without any trouble of a', that could still gar a man's heed turn and sick to follow. Nae easy to leave sic a wife alene in a team marriage bed. For he looed her as weel as he had in the first day he made her, stepping out for her cousin's door in the town to buy milk for his father's milk cart. He was a queer mixture richt and youch when his father. On the Sabbath he stood in the kirk in his best clays, presenter for the parish, and their soul could sing till he struck the tune and fork that he held in his hand to lead them, his voice as sweet and low as a cushy dew. He had gien many her horsey Daisy, her dolly Betsy T, when she was 5. In the 7 years since syne, Betsy, get awa wi Minnie, took it into the belt to her skirt, her comforter and free, for she was na allowed to play with the quarter bairns and come and gade with the seasons. Oh, that wouldn't have been richt and fitting. The young quine rugged her dolly out to her skirt band and patted her yellow clout heed. Da winna dee, Betsy, it's all lees they're saying. Granda Bruce only deed 5 months syne and he was 76, a canal buddock wi a white mouser that needed a stick to walk. And da's mouser's bruin, Betsy, wi just a 2 or 3 white hairs throughout. For Byford ran the firm and ging to the mart na Friday if he deed, and Fad lead the singing at Steen Hillock Parish Kirk on a Sabbath. Nobody sings as weel as da, Betsy. And he hasna learnt me to play the zithery box me yet, and he promised he would, ye ken. And she shook Betsy sae hard the wee clouty dolly nodded its heed as if to agree. For a minute the bairn thought on the bonny zither that bed in the top of the press in her wee attic bedroom. Black varnished it was, with bra inlaid mither of pearl flouries on it, and wee gowd furly orums pinted o'er his face. She could only string the strings out as yet. Da was waiting till she was aller till he showed her foot to play it. Ah, the wife of Russia he'd brought it when he was a young cheel on his first sea voyage as ship's engineer in the Blue Star Line. Granda Bruce had feathered 4 loons and 2 quines in his long marriage. Uncle Peter fermed Kilbog ower Dun Rachtwy. Uncle Jim fermed Woodside in the skirts of the growing town. Uncle Dougal managed a rubber plantation high in awan Kuala Lumpur in far Malaysia. Faith Buckles o' his Bruce cousins were skittered o'er Malaysia and Ceylon mucking siller han o'er fist. And Minnie's da had been squealed at Strathbogie College in the town to be a ship's engineer and sail the mucking oceans. He had won his engineer's ticket with Nae Duval, for the Bruces were a' clever, and he'd gotten a place in a ship soon after. But what nobody'd calculated on was the fact that young Matthew Bruce had nae sea legs of a'. By the time that his ship sailed out of the harbour of Aberdeen, and of the rough swell of the North Sea, he'd been near deep with seasickness, Peter Vratch, a' round the heel of Norway and Sweden into the Baltic Ocean, through the Gulf of Finland to St. Petersburg. He had bought the zither during the 2 or 3 days that the boat was in harbour, for he aye lewd music, but nae the rhythms of the sea, for the sea had nane that made on his sense, as rhythms were a' its ain. His feet was destined to walk at the tail of the plough, at the slaw turn of the seasons, nae to stitter and tumble like a peary ben a wheat deck in the teeth of a gurly grail. Sae wretched the voyage had been, he'd half a mind to bide in Russia rather than put to sea again, but sense prevailed and hame he come, and the trip coming hame was fully as course as the trip it took him awa'. His father, Almatha, had had to accept the fact that he would hae 3 fairman sons instead of 2, and hake about for a tenancy for him. And that was fu when his father settled at Steen Hillock. And 15 years near to the day, he had married Minnie's mither and brought her up the steeny brae like an eagle tryst in hem a mate to a cauld eerie. The zither, though, bed at the foot of his sea chest, till Minnie was all enough to walk and toddle over to it and lift its lid. It was the bonniest thing she'd ever seen, and as Ludlands well, she wanted it. And as doting feathers well, he couldn't refuse her. Clean, correct, and pitted and spiled as she was in but arthing. She'll blood it or brock it, her mother warned him. She winna, her da said. And she hidna. Faith, she'd keep it polished like a new preen, and girded it like a dog wi' a bean, and wouldn't let nobody near it for onything. So da couldna dee. The thought was unthinkable, and harna able to play a tune on the Russian zither. All Martha Bruce was deed, but he'd been ripe for deeing, funert and fusionless, with gummy een and pains in his joints, like an all rock turned fusty and rotten with time. She stopped at Betsy back into the waistband of her skirt, and stumped it off round the side of the byre to the hen hooses perched in the brae to feed her feathery charges. Chucky chuck 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 chucky, she wheedled, rattling the dry seed in the pail. Chucky chuck. By the time she'd coped with the last of the cloak and hens off its nest and dicked it to stray off the het brown eggies to nestle in the funour basket, Dr. Hart Kenderson's car had been in gain, and it was dinner time. Meg Ramsay had fouled the ropes with a wick's wash, crossed her fingers that the rain that had threatened our day would bide off, and was back at her darg in the hoose, scraping carrots and neeps for the muckle black pot out of the sway, that was heating out of the loping flames, near full to the neck with water and chucking beans for the Sabbath roast. The skippy was skirping sat out of the pot, when Maisie Plunkett the basket of hen's eggies down in the kitchen table. "Far's my mother," the queenie speared. "Out at the byre feeding the new coffees." Normally, Sally Bruce would have been here, making the dinner-time broth for her man and her quine, and for Meg and Jock Dow, her unmarried grieve, and the o'erloon Dandy Davy, for walking to her fray's feather's wee craft every day to earn some good well and some neeps fisting hillock. In return for his labour, Matthew Bruce would lend him his binder and other tools and gear when it was not. Young Matty Bruce wouldn't be home till next when his day was dean at Strathbogie College, when the dairy cared come back with team clean cans for the tune. The other feed men were quartered in the fair merbed near Han. The Bailey, well, Gilchrist, cycled down the brae till his mither a mile away at the Ledrick Dam. Tarry MacPhail walked out of the neat park to a tied hoose at the foot of the long dyke. Fergie Dunlop's wee button Ben was giant to Stinhillock Farmhouse. He didn't let to walk in his door. Dod Matheson's house was halfway atween the Ledrick Dam and the farm, just over for the Troot Valley. The Bruces aye keep it a troot in their spring water to keep the valley clean. It wasna like Minnie's mither to be out of the house at dinner time. Dandy was 2 years older than Minnie, 14 years old. Stinhillock was his first fee, and he thought he was fair the money, doping down at the table with the likes of Jock Dow, the grieve. He came into the kitchen close at Minnie's heels, humping a creel of fresh cut at sticks. "Well, the broth belong, Maggie speared. My stomach's beginning to think my throat's been cut at. We're Heinehan with the ploughing, and Jock wants to ken fan to lead the horse back for their feed." "Half an hour at maist," quo' the maid, "for the mistress comes o'er for the byre." Neither of them had spoken 2 words to Minnie. Yon was queer tea. Usually Dandy would hear a joke or a laugh wi' or Meg McGeer a bit of gossip should hear for the fishwife that trumpet round the farms on a Wednesday. It was like they didn't get fit to say to her, and there was nae need, because da was going to be fine now that Dr. Henderson had cried in by. "I'm a walk upstairs to see da," she told him, going into the lobby and onto the stairs, tucking the steps 2 at a time with her long button beats. "Caught her bairns, Mick, young barefoot, but nae Minnie. She was weel shod and weel clothed. Her da was maister of a' the parks around. Nothing could harm her. The Bruces got things hopping round Stoonhillock. Things didna happen unless they planned them, and it didna fit in Minnie's plans that her da would dee. Death couldna be that coarse. He could hear anybody else about the place he wanted, even her mither Sally, but nae her da, nae him, anybody but him." Elke next she said her prayers like her father had told her, The big prayer noo, nae the little ane, though sometimes she said them bays, starting off wi oor feather and singing on to the little ane's prayer, noo I lay me doon to sleep. She stood out by her feather's door, and though it wasna night, and she wasna dressed in her goon, and kneeling aside her bed, she whispered the words three times afore going in. Thy will be deen on earth as tis in heaven. She smeared down her peeny and got into the room. Da was sleeping. She creepit over to the fire and poked the crumbly sinners into a grey ace, carnally bigging the fire up again with kindlers. The kindlers were rosety, they crackit and spat and hissed. Just as she placed the coals in a fine wee brig over the rick and the spitting sticks, da hosted. It was quiet in the room. Nae soon but the tick of the clock on the mantelpiece and the pech o' her feather's breathing. The breathing started to slow down, stop it a' thegither for half a minute. Sick a flag, sick a fear thon gidda. Then, just as she meant to flee downstairs for help, it started again, faster and faster, as if his lugs was blooded, like a blacksmith's bellows with holes in the bag, garring him sook the wind in harder and quicker to win on a puff of a'. And then, again, the breathing would slow to a snail's rate, and stop with certainty for another minute or two, afore starting up again like a bad racing. Many had never met death afore, had nae way of kennin' this was his calling cared. She lay down aside her da in the bed, and put her heed in his bosie. Aith and airn creepit out fae the bed claes and gid roon her shudder. Her feather's een flicked it open and shut it twa three times, and he stared at the squat scripture at her. This was nothing new. Da was getting better, he often quoted scripture. His whole life followed the Lord's book. Many looked into his face, his een were shining. In my feather's house are money mansions, if it werena sae, I would hae telt ye. I gang to prepare a place for ye. And if I gang to prepare a place for ye, I will come again and tak ye for mysel, that far I am, there ye will be as weel. Many wasna sure far feather was spoken to. He was looking out at a photograph of his deed feather, all Martha Bruce. But it was as if some other body was in the room, though many couldna see them. Her feather's breathing foonert again, back to the slaw, pech, pech, and sighing the quiet. But again he rallied, and his mood began to work, fechting to frame the words he wanted to say. For this incorruptible man put on incorruption, and this mortal man put on immortality. Corinthians Quine, chapter 1, verse 53. 53 verses many, een for elke year your feather's life. His grip on her shooter suddenly thickened. His breathing grew faster again. I want you to promise me, Minnie, swear to me that you'll look after your mither and brither from my wa. The three folk dearest to me in the world bide aneath this reef, and ye're the youngest of them. But ye're the ane I'm closest till, Minnie, and it's right and it's fitting you're here at the last. Take care of them for my sake, lassie. Swear it. And afore she could utter a mute, her feather was deed, as blink as a blink, for a world into the next. Nobody telt Minnie Bruce that her feather was deed, nae doctor or neighbour or kinsman, but a second afore, there'd been twa folk there in the room, and knew there was only ane, for if it lay within his arms, the scranny arms roon about her, the scranny arms still hit, was but the mortal clouts of the man that had been her feather. He had stepped neatly out of them and vanished. She kent that, just as she kent that the fit coming up the stairs was her mither's back for the bayer. The door was pushed ajee, as Sally Bruce stood in the moat, with a calf's bottle teat in her hand, and her face drained white a colour. She had gone to the bayer to attend to the firm's business, and her man had died while she was busy feeding the calfies. He hadn't even waited to say cheerio. Minnie had swicked her out of that, the last ane to see him alive in the world of the leaving. Get out, her mother hissed at her. Get out and leave us alone. Dumfun at the lassie hightered out of the room, leaving her mother to greet. Jock Dow rode over to Kilbog to take the word to Peter Bruce that his brother was dead, and Will Gilchrist rode to Woodside to let Minnie's Uncle Jim ken, so that all Grandma Bruce could hear the news for her son, for it would hit her hard so soon after the death of her ain man, Martha. Young Matty come home from Strathbogie College, full of the news that he'd won a bitten medal for Latin, to be told that he might just lay by his books and his medal and his Latin, for he wouldn't have been needing any of them again. He was 14 years old of an age when his peers were working, and knew that his father was dead. He would hate to work tea, to keep a roof over his mother's head and bread on the table. Peter Bruce's wife Mysie and Jim's wife Nan come over to help with that next milking, for whether or no a farmer dies, his beasts must be fed and watered and milked, peered breeds. It wasna their white it had happened, though some might argue it was, seeing an ailing shilt had brought the hale thing about in the first place. It was the first night since ever that Minnie could mind that her mother had not seen the bean came to her heed to rug the tousles out of her long brown hair to check for fear of flecks pick it up for the cotter bairns. It was a Saturday, so there'd been nae squeal that day, and there'd been nae squeal the morn. Mysie Bruce put her arms round Minnie and Matty's shoulders and led them ben to the best room, the een looking over the kale yard, with the Bruce's corn parks rocks in a hinnet, and the scrubby bit of a know for the Davies's grazed their stots, rising up ahin it. The aunts had been busy a' evening, washing Minnie's feather and dressing him in his Sabbath suit, even doon to blackening his sheen upon the pit him onto his feet. The Ledrick Jiner had aye a 2 or 3 kists at the back of his shoppy, for Death was a steady customer, and Minnie's Uncle Peter had harnessed the shelt to the cart, but on the shelving and gone over to Ledrick's to choosing, a stout oak kist. Some mithers the giner was still working in the lettering for the brass plaque that he'd nailed in the lid a been before it was hammered down. The best room was shining like a new brain, for the quarter wives had been in and cleaned it and stuck it the coal pail with coal. And the glass jugs were bitties of flowers, though there was little in yuk in the way of flowers in April, for by 2 or 3 early daffs. Dr. Henderson T. had been back. He might as well have written the death certificate out the first time he come yon day, Meg Ramsay said, for he money counted it wouldn't belong or ain would be soft. You can see your feather now, Aunt Mysie told the bairns. Aye's troubles are over. You mun kiss his brow and pay your respects to the deed. Minnie gied over first, teetin' o'er the side of the kist to look down in the face of the man for begot her. His een was steekit with 2 pennies, his hands folded afore him in his lap. He'd been shaved, his hair had been washed and combed for buys the pennies. He must have been getting ready to gang to the kirk. Jod, he would be gone to the kirk 3 days for noo and Tuesday neist, but nae to lead the singing, never again to lead the singing. She bowed over the side of the kist and touched his brow with her lips, but she didn't greet. After a', her father had telt her, he'd gien to mak a hame for Minnie and himsel'. A day, he was coming back for her. She'd bide strong to look after Matty and her mither. Matty, though, bubbled and grat when he saw his father's corpse. His folk were gay come out that the loon should talk his father's death so hard for the niver kent that Matty was greeting never his father but his books, and his friends and his future that wouldna be coming to pass, nae noo, nae ever. Matty Bruce had dreamt of being a lawyer, a doctor, a professional chiel with a fine house in the toon and letters to his name. Instead he'd been trailed back to the clart and trachle of the firm that both fed and scunnered him. Aunt Mysie put her arms round her niece and nephew and pushed them over to their mother, for was slumped in a chair at the fireside, her een swallowed with greeting. "Tuck your 2 bairns in here, bosey Sally, at least you've something to mind them be." Uncle Peter had poured Sally Bruce out a stiff dram, the nearest thing to medicine ever keep it in the farmhouse. It sorted a thing for kink horse to teethick. Maybe that was fit made her said, maybe it wasna. She took off her shawl and pulled Matty out of her bosey. She pushed Minnie away. I dinna went there. Matty's a' the family I need noo. She mun gang to her granny Bruce in the toon, e'en saw things over wi'. Mysie Bruce raised her eyebrows at yon, and her sister-in-law explained for her. But Granny has a fine house near to a gweed squeal. Siller'll be dichted, Steinhillock. I've nothing to offer her here. Gweed be here, she can aye come home weekends with a dairy cart. Aunt Mysie took many a wah and made her a mug of hot tea and spread her a scone with butter and brummel jelly. Upstairs, Quenny, and sleep. Your ma's near sail just now. Athing'll seem better in the morning. Upstairs and steek your innies. Simony climbed the stairs and knelt at the side of her bed as she did, and said her prayer, thy will be done, and lay down with Betsy and her bosie, worn out by all that had happened that day, for it didn't seem real to the queen that she'd never see her da again this side of kingdom come. Next morning when she wakened, Betsy had vanished, and though she hunted the hale house for her, she wasn't to be seen. A doll, is that all she has to fash about, and her feather lying deed the natural wee vratch her mother railed? But Matty Bruce gave a bit smirk, and sidled up a henny sister to whisper in her log. Fin I was a bairn, a spark as a bairn, I kent as a bairn, I thought as a bairn. But fin I become a man, I put a wah a bairn fearless. You're a big quine new sister, you winna be needin' a dolly there in the tune.